It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
Environmentalists responded positively to President Obama's climate speech yesterday, but what role is Congress going to play in actually enacting any policy? It's our weekly look at Congress with Paul Singer.
But first, a judge dismissed a lawsuit today that aimed to redesign election ballots in Waukesha County before the November 4th election.
Republican legislative leaders filed the lawsuit against the state's Government Accountability Board, alleging that it was confusing and could influence the outcome of the election by giving too much prominence to Democrats.
Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson was at the hearing today in Waukesha, and he's with us now to get caught up on what happened. Sean, thanks for stopping back again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Republican legislative leaders had an issue with the model ballot in Waukesha County. What were their concerns there?
So what they said was that there wasn't enough differentiating the name of an office on the ballot from the first candidate for that office. And their concern was that if you, wasn't going to affect anybody running for governor, for example, but if you go on down the ballot to lesser known races, say for the state assembly, for example, that a voter would look at those offices and potentially think that there was only one candidate running for those offices and that they might not vote in those races. In Wisconsin, because Democrats won the presidential race here in 2012, state law says that they are listed first. Their candidates are listed first on the ballot in the next election. And so in this situation, it left a ballot where Republicans said, essentially it was going to give Democrats an unfair advantage.
Now, is this an issue that is specific to Waukesha County's ballots, or is this something that was statewide and would have popped up in other places on ballots?
This is something that was statewide. This is something that was filed in Waukesha County because of a state law that Republicans passed that lets lawsuits against the state be filed in any Wisconsin county. So traditionally in the past, these would be filed in Dane County, the seat of state government. But under this new law, Republicans are able to challenge, the Government Accountability Board in this instance anywhere. And so they chose to challenge the GAB in Republican-friendly Waukesha County. They did have success there in court challenges, on election-related challenges in 2012 during the recalls. But today, not so much. I mean, the judge was made pretty quick work of their challenge there. Heard about 25 minutes of arguments, read a couple of cases that one of the lawyers mentioned during those arguments and came back and ruled.
Wow, so 25 minutes it only took. What was the ultimate decision or why was it made?
Yeah, so it was about an hour after arguments started that the judge came back and said he was dismissing the case. Not necessarily the most exciting reasons for why he dismissed it, but he said, number one, that the campaign committees of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald did not have standing to sue, that the committees had not been harmed. There'd been no injury. And so when you haven't been harmed, when you haven't been injured, you don't have access to the court system in a case like this. The other thing that he mentioned was that statutes require a challenge like this against the Government Accountability Board to first be filed formally with the Government Accountability Board. So Voss and Fitzgerald did not take that step. They went straight to the courtroom. The judge said state law basically just says you can't do that.
And what is response from the Government Accountability Board been so far to this dismissal?
They said it was the opinion that they were hoping for. And, Kevin Kennedy, the director of the Government Accountability Board, said you always have some type of controversy with ballots in any election. But, the idea that this was going to give some kind of a partisan advantage, he had referred to previously as absurd. One other thing that came up during arguments is that when the Government Accountability Board creates these model ballots as a template for clerks to use all over Wisconsin, clerks don't necessarily follow suit. I mean, they don't have to. And in practice, they're not doing it in this case. I mean, there are a number of counties with Democratic county clerks who said, we're not going to use the model ballots from the Government Accountability Board. We're going to use something else. It might be subtly different, but they have that autonomy to do something a little bit different than the state allows. And that is something that the judge noted before he issued his ruling in today's case.
Now, briefly, before we move on, I understand the judge also said that a voter should have been the one to bring this suit to the courts, not these committees. Is that likely to happen? Or is that something that would also have to happen after the election?
I don't know. I mean, the attorney for the Republican legislative leaders was asked about that, whether we would see a follow-up suit by a voter. And he just didn't have an answer for that. I suppose... that might hinge on how important Republicans think this issue really is. They've sort of made the Government Accountability Board a whipping boy in some of these cases where they really have gone after the board. They use it to kind of drum up support among their base. The GAB has been a frequent target of theirs. So, you know, it could have been some political motivation behind filing the suit as well.
So moving on to the very busy Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, we're still waiting for word about whether or not they're going to take up a case against Wisconsin's voter ID law with a full panel. What do you think is likely to happen there?
Yeah, so we don't know. I mean, we know that a three-judge panel a couple weeks ago heard Wisconsin's voter ID challenge, which had halted voter ID, you know, for a couple years, and just hours later issued an order that reinstated the law. So plaintiffs for the ACLU and other groups that wanted to block the case have asked the full Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals to hear the case en banc, you know, so you'd have every judge at the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals ruling on the case. They say that you can't reinstate voter ID this close to an election. So the response by the state has been, look, voter ID is happening. If you were to put the brakes on it again, the verb that they used is you'd be ping-ponging state election officials and voters. So it's really up to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. A majority of the judges there would need to vote to take the case. We don't know if that'll happen.
And what impact do you see if on voters and election officials if the voter ID issue remains intact between now and Election Day?
I think, as far as turnout goes, definitely remains to be seen. It's a lot closer to the election to implement this law than the Government Accountability Board or clerks had hoped. They say they're up to the challenge, but, you know, one of the initial difficulties we've seen with that is there have been almost 12,000 absentee ballots sent out without instructions that say you have to include some kind of a photo ID. What do you do with those ballots? Hundreds, at least, were already sent back. In other words, they were voted without sending in a photo ID. You know, that's if it's a close election, that's the type of stuff that could end up in a courtroom.
Now, Sean, before we let you go, there was some breaking news just moments before the show. We got word that the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals repealed the injunction by Judge Randa stopping the John Doe investigation. So what does this mean and where are we now?
Yes, it's been very busy at the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. What that means is that the John Doe investigation, John Doe 2, as it's been called, is essentially back on. It had been halted by a federal judge in Wisconsin, Judge Rudolph Randa. He agreed with conservative groups that it was a violation of their First Amendment rights. I have the opinion here from the Court of Appeals. Haven't had a chance to go through it extensively, but they seem to be getting at what they said in oral arguments, and that is that it's not the place of a federal judge to get into the state court's business in this way and to issue an injunction blocking a state court proceeding. Those are some of the first words written here by Judge Frank Easterbrook, who wrote the opinion. And so what this means is that the federal court system's stop to this investigation, this John Doe investigation in the state court system, has now been lifted.
So where does it go then? Back to the state court?
This thing has so many tentacles. Investigators have their own challenges in state court and getting some of the evidence that they obtained through subpoenas to be included as part of the record. They had a state court judge rule that those subpoenas were too broad. And I think it may come down to an interpretation of state statutes when it comes to coordination between campaigns like Governor Scott Walker's and these conservative groups. But one of those branches of this investigation that took it off into the federal court system, it would appear through this ruling that argument has been closed, although, of course, these conservative groups could appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, Sean, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for coming on.
All right. Thank you.
We've been talking to Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, getting us caught up on a few issues in the courts today.